Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and GCN viewers around the world, I'm delivering a message about 12 foundation stones of New Jerusalem the senior pastor delivered before. And today I'm going to talk about the 7th and 8th jewels. When you listen to this message about jewels, engrave it in your heart and make the owner of that jewel. You know, senior pastor told you about these jewels, gemstones. Well, since many of you are not interested in these gemstones, right? Especially male members. But as I was preparing for this message, I had to refer to the old message and, jewels and gemstones, right? And it renewed me and it refreshed my mind. And mommy members are not paying much attention to these gemstones, right? And jewels. You don't answer? Well, worldly people have great interest in these jewels. Especially male members. You think you have got nothing to do with them, right? But the worldly people are very much interested in these jewels. But spiritual, in a spiritual sense, not in a fleshly sense, we gotta have pay attention to these jewels in a spiritual sense. The seventh foundation stone on the walls of New Jerusalem is a chrysolite. Chrysolite includes, olive-colored and olive vine, okay? The spiritual heart represented by chrysolite is mercy. A dictionary defines this mercy as a heart that loves others deeply and has compassion on others. However, the spiritual meaning that God has revealed is a heart that can understand in the truth, people, who can be hardly understood as a man. That is, a heart that can, forgive in the truth even those who can be hardly forgiven as a man. There are people that you cannot understand. They are considered not human beings, even though they are human beings. But do you have such, Do you have such people? Well, I believe mommy members, do not have such men. You shouldn't, okay? Our Lord understood everything about us, and we were forgiven by Him. So, we should be able to forgive everybody. Well, if you haven't, then try to have the heart of chrysolite and have a heart of mercy so that you can forgive and have mercy. It is to understand and forgive in goodness with love. That's the spiritual meaning of mercy that is represented by chrysolite. Those who have this mercy do not have any bias, okay? I like that man, but I don't like that man. They don't do so. They got no one that they hate. If you have this kind of heart, your heart will have peace all the time. You got some bad feelings about anyone. You got no enemies. You think everything in goodness. So, even though there is one who committed a grave sin, you deal with him with the heart of mercy. You think like that, how could, he committed the kind of sin? It bothered him too much. You think this first. And if you have, love for the more, then you're going to help him to repent. And you feel like as if you committed that kind of sin. And understand his heart. So you encourage it to change, right? Think of, our parents. They did that to us. Well, of course, we have parents nowadays, but in the past, it was even greater, the hearts of our parents. When their children commit sin, especially like, if they're about to be arrested for their criminal that they committed, their parents try to defend themselves, and they think as if, they committed that kind of sin. They pretend, and they think like, they are like, their crimes, as if the crimes were committed by their children. They got such a heart. They try to, you know, they want to go to prison instead of their, you know, children, because they love their children. Out of, you know, love and responsibility, they do so. So if, I mean, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. So in the Lord, in God, with the heart of love, we have to understand each other. We got to forgive each other. We got to have a heart of mercy, and we got to pray for them. I hope we can become like that. If you're Mamin members, if you're pastor of Mamin, you should have this kind of heart. If you're a pastor, you shouldn't blame on, you shouldn't put blame on your members. Sometimes, you know, your, you know, members commit sin. Sometimes you have to rebuke them. You have to let them realize their sin. And after that, once you turn around, then you got to pray to Father God. Father God, that's my fault. I didn't teach them right. I didn't pray for them more. That's my fault. This is the beginning of heart of mercy. It's the heart of our shepherd, right? You and I remember that. Think about Moses. Moses had this kind of heart. You know, he prayed for Israelites when Israelites committed sin. I told you many times, many, many times, not just 1 or 2 days. You know, Moses, you know, led Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. Can you imagine how many times, you know, he told his people, but Israelites committed sin before God all the time. But Moses had this heart of mercy. So, Father God, please forgive them. Otherwise, blot my name out of the book of life. He prayed as if he himself committed that kind of sin. So you have to hate sin, but you shouldn't hate men. You understand everything. You embrace them. This is the heart of mercy. Okay? Jesus is the biggest example with this kind of heart of mercy. Of course, Jesus has, you know, all 12, you know, stones in his heart. Now, let me tell you about his heart of mercy. Jesus knew that Judas Iscariot would betray him and sell him for money. However, he didn't put himself away from Judas Iscariot. He didn't hate him from his heart. Till the end, with a heart of love, he gave him chance to repent and turn back. This is endless heart of mercy. Now, in this time of blessing around, this time, when someone is making bad rumors about you, or someone calls you bad names, what kind of heart do you have when you hear it? They make rumors, they spread the rumors. Then what do you think about it? For the last 20 and 30 years, exact, you know, 37 for exact, you heard about mercy and love. When it happens nowadays, it's actually happening right now, right? Now, what kind of heart do you have? And how you should deal with them? You got to have the heart of mercy. You and I both. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, he didn't put blame on anybody. He didn't hate anyone. Jesus said in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He even prayed for those who tried to kill him. This is the heart of mercy. They can forgive even the one that you cannot forgive. Well, you and I need the word in the forgiveness. Think about, you know, Napoleon, the emperor in the French emperor. He said, you know, there is no impossibility in his dictionary, right? That's what he said. In his dictionary, there is no word such as, you know, impossibility. Everything is possible with him. That's what he said, right? There is nothing he cannot do. That's what he said. Well, probably, you know, he said so out of, you know, arrogance. However, in our, you know, dictionary, we don't need forgiveness. There are many words that we don't need. There are many words we got to get rid of. We are the one who were forgiven. We were understood. we got actually no right to forgive. We are obliged to forgive because we were forgiven by our Father God and the Lord. Think about Deacon Stephan. When he was stoned to death by evil people, he prayed for those evil people. Acts 7 verse 60 says, and falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. He got no hatred in his heart. He'd rather have mercy and pity for them. That's what he had. Father God represents this heart of mercy with chrysolite. So you and I should have this heart of mercy. And we shouldn't have anyone that we can hate. We should rather understand everyone, embrace anyone, and forgive anyone. Then we are the ones first to be happy. We are the first one to be happy. Not your husband, not your wife. Okay? My children will be happy first if I become like this. What about your workers, your sales leaders? Well, you are the happiest one once you have this kind of heart. The eighth foundation stone is beryl. And a beryl is a light blue-greenish jewel. The heart of spirit symbolized by beryl is to endure in everything to achieve the kingdom of God and righteousness. Enduring is not suppressing your feelings, okay? Some people, gnash their teeth or, make fists and they tremble to suppress their anger, temper, and lament and hatred. Even though they have them, in order not to express outwardly, they just suppress them. However, to endure the Father God wants us to have is not like this, okay? We got no evil. We only have goodness. So we don't need the word enduring at all. This is the heart of enduring or patience. Because this is what Father God has done for us. He has endured for human beings. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. He got no evil. His heart is full of mercy and goodness and love. Out of faith and hope, he waits and be patient and endure. There is a heart of endurance and, the endurance in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and Galatians chapter 5. However, the endurance in the love chapter is to endure for personal reason. However, the endurance as a heart of the whole spirit is to endure to achieve Father God's kingdom and righteousness. So therefore, the endurance as the fruit of the Holy Spirit is even in a greater meaning than the endurance of the love chapter. The patience contained in beryl is the same as the patience in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which has a more incomprehensive meaning, as you can see. So this patience in the fulfilling for the kingdom of God and righteousness can be divided into three categories. First, endurance between God and us. We gotta endure and be patient until Father God's promise will be fulfilled. Father God is faithful. Once He says it, He accomplishes it without change. Therefore, once Father God made your promise with you, then you gotta endure and be patient until it is fulfilled. If we pray to Father God for something and we gotta wait until the answer comes, Father God has promise and will for this church. 40 years ago or 37 years ago, Father God gave the promise to our senior pastor. 37 years ago, He mentioned that promise to us. And those promises, since it is the Word of God, the poisonous gas were gone and four people in the came back to life and the rain stopped, typhoon stopped. I'm talking about the things happening 37 years ago, when those things happened. Since the moment, Father God gave us a promise. Father God gave words and words of promise. They are the words of God. And they have been fulfilled, and they are being fulfilled, and it will soon, for sure, be fulfilled, since it is the word of God. Father God will, you know, make all of them come to an end in His will. So, if we pray to Father God, then we gotta wait and endure until the answer comes. Father God knows when is the best time to give us answer. When is the best time? He knows. Father God knows. I thought about Joseph. What if Joseph got out of jail in just 1 year? Well, he met in the cupbearer and the one, you know, who, you know, bake, you know, bread, right? And then they got dreams, and then, you know, Joseph interpreted, you know, their dreams. Now they got all, and then the cupbearer came back to their, I mean, he came back to his office, and then Joseph asked him to save him from this jail, right? However, this cupbearer went back to the palace, and he forgot about Joseph completely. You know, he's, that this is the man of, you know, this is the heart of man. When he was in jail, it was too painful. However, once he got out of jail, thanks to Joseph, he forgot. This is the heart of man. So that's why there are people who forgot the grace that they received. So anyway, what if God had released Joseph from jail in just a year later? Well, what would have happened to Joseph? He could have been a slave, or he could have been, you know, able to go back to his hometown. Then the Father God's will would not have been fulfilled. As written in the Bible, in two years, not just 2 years, in two full years, Pharaoh got a dream. And then Joseph interpreted his dream, and the works of God started to be fulfilled. I mean, started to be unfolded. So Father God had time, and He knew that time is the best time. So Father God's will for this church will be surely, you know, unfolded before us. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you." From time to time, there are people who complain like this: "I stayed up all night and prayed and fasted, but I didn't receive answer." It's like a farmer planting seed on the ground and complaining, and then dig the ground before the fruit was born. Once you sow the seed, then you gotta wait until it, you know, it bears fruit. However, farmers do not just wait, you know, to get, you know, good harvest. You know, they weeds the ground and plow the ground. They make all kind of toils. You know, ground does not say a lie. Which means, as much as sweat the farmers, you know, have, as much, you know, the more sweat, you know, the farmers, you know, has, and the more harvest, you know, he will, you know, reap. I was a farmer, you know. I was a little farmer when I was a kid. But I know how hard it is to farm. But nowadays, sometimes, you know, the ground lies. Well, ground itself does not lie, but people's heart becomes so evil, and they destroy the environment and nature, and then the weather changes. There are changes. You know, farmers in the past, they just, you know, cultivate the land and take care of their crops, and, you know, they got good harvest. However, because of the changed weather and stuff, you know, they cannot harvest as much as they want. But anyway, farmers do not forgive anyway. They, you know, plant in the cabbages or some in the sweet potatoes. And sometimes, you know, they cry because of the price drop down. They have to, you know, burn them, but yet still they don't give up. They still plant the seeds the next year. That's what our farmer does. He thinks, you know, that is his duty and he wants to do it. So I asked myself, I checked my heart. I got, you know, duty that is given by God and I got to take care of it. I also thought about the hearts of our members and workers and leaders. You know, they may come across with something they cannot understand. In working for Father God's kingdom, you may have become off from your office, or you want to be recognized, you want to be promoted in your office, but, you know, sometimes you have to give them up for the work of Father God, right? You keep balance. But we run toward New Jerusalem. We have that kind of wish. So in any given situation, all our church workers, please be faithful to your given duties, okay? So, we gotta wait until we receive answer. Faith, joy, prayer, thanksgiving, faithfulness, and commandments, and love. We gotta pass the tests of the seven spirit, okay? Then once you fill up the justice, the Father God said, then Father God will give you answer right away. Jacob loved Rachel so much. So he regarded 7 years as just one day. He, you know, worked for free. Even though it was 7 long years, he considered them as just a few days. Because he loved Rachel so much. Can you imagine 7 years? I felt like just a few days. Out of love for her, how great his love was. So passionate love. However, this kind of love was also fleshly love. So later on, it changed and then it became some kind of miserable, you know, love, right? In the end. But anyway, it turned into a blessing thanks to Father God, right? To Father God, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years are like one day. Because Father God is waiting for us. Even though it is 1,000 years, you know, he waits for us as if those 1,000 years is like a day. And he endures and endures and patient. This kind of love of Father God, we gotta feel it. Every moment you live today, you gotta remember what kind of love and patience Father God has for us. And before Father God, what kind of heart we have for each other. Please check your heart, okay? There was a company in United Kingdom. I think I read the book. There was a company in Britain, British, you know, company, from this area to that area, which is the shortest way to get there? There was a question in the company. For example, from Busan to Seoul, what is the quickest way to get to Seoul? But there are many ways, right? You may take a plane. It's the quickest way, I believe, right? Well, you may have to check in. You have to get in a boarding pass, and you got to go to pass through the boarding gate. And there is a KTX, expressway, express train, and there is a you can drive, right? If you drive about like 200 kilometers an hour, well, which one is quicker? So anyway, there are many ways to get to Seoul from Busan. Someone wrote an answer in the company. The answer was, just being with the one that you love. If you are traveling along with someone that you love, then even if it takes like 10 hours, you feel like it's just an hour or 10 minutes, right? Depending on the density of that love that you got for her or for him. Wow, the time passed. Time flies so quickly. But if you got no love, it will be too boring, right? Just the 5 minutes would feel like in 5 hours. So there was a one who gave that answer. Our Lord of love still is with us. Our Lord is with us. He is waiting for us. He is embracing us in his heart. All those years, do you complain? Think about love of our Lord. You can be patient too. Brothers and sisters, let's Chumamin. Father God has given this time for blessing of us. This is all love of Father God. I hope you can realize this. You gotta fill up what you are short of, and you gotta make incomplete complete. If there is unbeautiful, you gotta make it beautiful. Now, second, patience between men. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faith-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." Well, to keep the relationship, you need patience. Even if they do something that is against your mind, you gotta endure it. You gotta understand, you gotta embrace, you gotta forgive, you gotta yield. To do so, you have to be patient. In this moment of blessing, what is true love? You gotta think about it, you gotta pray for it. This is the woman to achieve that kind of love. Okay? Love is first, is to be patient. Second, gentle. No, right? The first characteristic of love is to be patient. Because without this, you cannot have love. And if you have this endurance, then you can achieve love. In this end time, people's hearts got stained by evil. If you are not patient nowadays, the heart of people got stained by so many evil things. In the past, let's say about 100 years ago, well, about a couple of decades ago, you didn't hear about cases about divorce in your neighbor. You know, once, you know, they are, you know, divorced, you know, spouses, you know, they just, you know, moved to some different places. Of course, you know, they got troubles between, you know, husband and wife. They also had that kind of trouble. Back then, they got troubles too. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, they got troubles. You know, the problems of characteristics, or, you know, finance, or some kind of relationship, like having an affair. Like, you know, they also had troubles back then. However, they didn't divorce. They just endured each other. They thought, you know, it was their duty. They tried to keep their, you know, conscience. They had the heart of, you know, goodness. So they endured. They were patient to each other. But what about nowadays? People don't do so. Those who evangelize well have this kind of patience. You know, even if the one that they are about to evangelize, you know, they just smile at to those, you know, who speak, you know, harsh language. That they think that once they show the example of, you know, long patience and love and goodness, the enemy, devil, and Satan, you know, leave. My mother, the senior deaconess Lee Jung Sun, was very good at evangelizing. But nowadays she is so old, so she just prays. In the past, you know, she, you know, evangelized so many people. Recently, I think you received grace much from the healing. Missionary in Mongolia, and the Pastor Myung Lee went to mission trip there, right? The missionaries in Mongolia, you know, they were evangelized by my mother. Back then, you know, she couldn't communicate with them. They were not good at Korean back then in 1990s. She evangelized them. You know, I'm so curious. Well, one thing for sure is that she was patient. She just, you know, spoke words of the Lord to them. I believe back then we didn't have newspaper written in Mongolian. But anyway, she evangelized them with patience. Eventually, you know, they became Christians. Now, through those in the Mongolia and in the missionaries, so many Mongolian people got evangelized. When evangelizers deal with people in love and goodness, the darkness goes away. Then the people open their hearts, they accept the gospel, and they eventually come to salvation. There was a wife. She was persecuted by her own, you know, husband. Especially, you know, she went to Manmin Church, so she was persecuted more by her husband. However, without change, she was faithful to church and to her family. Later on, her husband said he gave up. Even, you know, the husband threatened his wife. He persecuted his wife like this. However, eventually the husband gave up. When? Well, this wife, of course, you know, she was patient and prayed with love. However, you know, she felt that her husband was a so poor soul who should be evangelized. When she had this kind of heart of mercy, the devil went away, and then the husband gave up, you know, persecuting her. From time to time, when the time is right, Father God works, and Father God will change his heart to come to church. He will work on his way. Third, patience to transform one's mind. You know, transform one's mind is to cast off untruth and evil from heart and plant the truth and goodness. The 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 says, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. And on the word that the 1 John talks about the faith of child, faith of young man, faith of father. Father God wants you to reach the faith of father. And cultivating your heart is needed to have the measure of a father's faith. You gotta weed, you gotta get rid of, you know, the stones, you gotta plow the field until it becomes the good field. The man's heart is like this. As much as you cast off evil from your heart, your heart will become a good heart, and it can bear good fruits when the word of God is planted. When you plow the field, you know, you work so hard, right? As you, you know, cultivate your heart, you gotta pray with a loud voice. Then you will receive the strength of the Holy Spirit, and then you can cultivate your heart field. But these all processes are not easy. So many people lose heart. They give up in the middle. That's why you need patience. When I was a kid, I think I was a middle school student when I came to this church. I was senior in middle school. I was in another church. I was faithful. I followed my mom to attend all kinds of revival meetings. And then I prayed so loudly back then. I think we prayed loudly during the revival meetings. Then my mother said, My voice was so harsh. Now, you got so harsh a voice, right? But why don't you praise with a louder voice and pray louder? Then the pastor, right now he's giving the sermon, you know, your voice will be like his voice. So I remembered it, and then I prayed loudly. But my voice cord was not hurt, because Father God protected it. So anyway, people could hear only the sound of, you know, the breath. So anyway, I was like this kind of Christian. But the pressure of sin was too burdensome. I was not sure whether I would be, you know, saved. That's why I went to, you know, prayer center. Even though I was a student, they were other Christians. I, you know, went to prayer house along with them. And I received the, you know, grace during and the summer vacation. And then we talked to each other, that we got to pray together. Because the church that I went to was not a church that allowed us to pray loudly. So we prayed. I received the tongue prayer. And our other students, you know, my friends, and received in tongue too. A month later, 2 months later. But faith got cooled down, and then I felt again the pressure of sin. I was just a middle school student, and then I was under the heavy burden of sin. You may wonder, right? But the burden of sin, well, everybody has a different burden of sin, right? Some people commit this kind of sin that I commit, and they don't feel it too burdensome. But to someone like me, commit that kind of sin, and then I feel it's too much, right? Then I met Senior Pastor. I came to the church. After I heard the message about the sanctification, wow, this is faith. This is how to cast off sin. I can, to the point of shedding blood. To be born again with water and the Holy Spirit, that is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, by the help of the Holy Spirit, which means to cast off every form of evil in our heart. I understood that meaning. And I give, you know, life to, I have to, you know, give life by Spirit. Once I realized this, I was so happy. And I witnessed the power that is manifested by Senior Pastor. Then I have, you know, I had assurance for salvation, my salvation. And I came to have, you know, wish for New Jerusalem. I mean, we committed sin which could not be forgiven. I remember those sins. I remember the grace that I got. You know, those sins got forgiven by the grace of our Lord and Senior Pastor, right? Thank you for saving me. Thank you for this chance. I prayed with tears every day, every hour. Still, I do that. I give in the prayer of thanks. Someone said this, Pastor, in this moment of blessing, my heart for Shepherd and this church has never changed. When I heard it, you know, it gave me grace. Well, I knew him since I have known him since I was a young man. I was wondering whether he was doing a good job. So I met him, and then I found him, you know, working so well without any change. He got faith and trust in the church and our shepherd. And he said, you know, I love praying. All anxieties and worries go away. I just want to pray and sing praises all day long. I was so thankful when I heard it. And he also said, he made the confession. I don't want to be cheated by myself. I don't want to be cheated. I don't want to be deceived by myself. Well, ask yourself. When you look around, there are people who are missing. They also said that they worked so hard to cast off sin. But, you know, they were not there. So ask yourself whether you are one of them. So I had a conversation with him. And I told him what I feel. Well, I had this kind of heart. I was once deceived by myself. That's why I pray to Father God all the time, rendering my heart in repentance. Not when I committed some sin, a fleshly sin. But with the same heart, I render my heart in repentance. I want to do that until Father God recognized me as a man of whole spirit. Like forefathers of faith in the Bible. I want to pray like that. Render my heart in repentance. Every day, I pray like that. I told him about this. Brothers and sisters in Christ, before our faith got measured, some people were disappointed. Some people lost heart. Well, please don't. If that was true love, you don't need to lose heart. Well, even if you look up to man, not God, even if you use the fleshly method, all of this also was not to get fame or honor. You want to be acknowledged by God. So don't lose heart. You worked hard to be recognized by Father God. But realize that what you have done in the Lord was not all in vanity. So remember, go on with the same heart. That's the evidence that you have loved God and you still love Father God. With the same heart, you go on. You got to prove that. Senior pastor once said that the word of God itself is the standard to measure your faith. You know the word. Our senior pastor told you about the measure of faith and how to measure your faith. So even if you're slow to change, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Remember the love of the Lord who was crucified for you. And be encouraged and cultivate your heart again. Not just waiting, okay? When you wait and cultivate your heart with the long for Father God's love and blessing, if you are patient with you, and if you cultivate your heart, you can make it. I want you to do that in the name of the Lord. Let me conclude this message. The 12 foundation stone of New Jerusalem will help you make your stone of your heart beautifully. Some ask, am I doing right? Am I doing right? I ask myself, have I been doing right as my man? Well, you are. Mom and congregation, you've been doing well. You have been doing well. Why? You follow the Lord who is the way, truth, and the life. He called himself the truth and life and way. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. You follow the word. You follow this word, life, truth. Only look up to the word of God. You didn't follow the power. You didn't follow the blessing. Did you think that once I go to Mammon Church, I will go to New Jerusalem? No, you didn't think like that. Every day, every moment, you come to Daniel prayer meeting, you come to every service, you remembered the word of God. You remember the word of God. You didn't know what is the meaning of first, sixth, Thy kingdom's heart, thy kingdom's kingdom of Father God and his righteousness. Before you came to the church, you prayed for yourself, for your honor, for your fame, for fleshly reasons. Of course, you know, there are people who didn't like that. However, I myself prayed like that. Of course, you know, I tried so hard to live by the word of God. So anyway, you changed after you came to the church. You pray to Father God, Father, please help me to live by the word of God. Let me cast off hatred. Let me get rid of the jealousy and stuff. Why are you confused? Are you asking me how you're doing? You have followed the word of God well. Our Lord became the flesh, dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. We were not away from the Lord. We follow the Lord, only the word of God. And there was a manifestation of Father God's power. That proves that the word that we followed is the true. Jesus said in John 1:14 says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we came to wish for New Jerusalem. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, the Lord said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." What we got to remember is the way to life, way to eternity is so narrow and so small. But we run that way with happiness. Why? Because our senior pastor showed the evidence, the power of God. Our Lord said in Mark 16:20 says, "They went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed." The power is followed with the word. That power can prove that the word that you follow is the true. Without power, something is missing. Something that is not true. That's what the power proves. Thanks to this power, we are affirmed. We got confidence that the gospel of holiness is true. We are the witnesses. We are the evidences, brothers and sisters. The love of Father God, Father God of love, wants us to become beautiful foundation stones of New Jerusalem. May you have this love and expectation and come out as the fruit of glory in New Jerusalem and answer Father God's, meet the expectation of our Father God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.